The Lord speaks in mysterious ways. So yes, summer break done. We feel like, feels like we're starting a new term at church. Something that myself and Christine were musing over before the service. That sense of, even if we haven't been away physically on breaks, some of the groups have not run, and so it just feels as we have a chance just to step back a little bit from the busyness of church. And as we start this new term, if you like, this new season, what I'm going to do in September, on all Sundays except the 17th of September, 17th of September is Uganda Sunday. We'll be hearing about our work in Uganda. It will be a Sunday like we had in June with a bit of an African flavour to it. And actually, at the end, after that, we're also invited down to Markham and Tina's for a barbecue. So a busy Sunday, that one. But on the other three Sundays in September, what I want to do is just look at three topics that help us to launch ourselves into the new church term, as it were. Today I want to look at a theme I'm calling Serving God by Serving Others. Serving God by Serving Others. Let me begin with a misconception. Often people feel that the only people that get called by God are missionaries or pastors or nuns or monks. But the Bible says that everyone is called to serve God. Everyone is called to serve God by serving others. I want to pick up on the first verse that Isabel brought to us. That's Galatians 5. Verse 13, let me read it again. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, or the flesh, as we heard in Isabel's version. Serve one another humbly in love. We need to be clear that we're not saved by serving, but we are saved to serve. We are saved, as the book of James tells us, to do good works, and that includes serving. It's part of our calling as followers of Jesus. And it helps to make his church, including this church here in the centre of Worcester, work in the way he truly wants it to work. And just looking at this one verse this morning, I want to pick up on three things that Paul writes. They talk about the serving God and how we should do it. And then we're going to get a little bit practical just for a moment to see what that means for serving this particular church here. So let's start with this verse then. Galatians 5:13. Let's pick it apart a little. And I want to start with what seems to be the basis for serving God by serving others. And that is the salvation that God offers. Paul says, you were called to be free. So whatever else you might think you've been called to be, Paul stresses, number one, is you've been called to be free. The point is, you can't serve God. In fact, you probably don't want to be bothered about serving him until you've been set free by Jesus. It's like the prerequisite for serving him. Until you experience that incredible transforming power of God's grace in your life, until you've been truly set free by really getting to know Jesus, and yet, to be quite honest, you're probably too enslaved in your own hurts and your guilts and your bad habits and your hang-ups to even think much about serving others, let alone serving God. The danger is that without the forgiveness that brings about the freedom that God offers, you may end up serving, but for completely the wrong reasons, trying to earn the approval of others, or trying to run away from some pain in your life, or trying to make some good from some guilt that you feel. Service motivated by these kind of iffy reasons can often leave us burnt out and probably a little bit bitter in the end. But imagine, just imagine for a moment how glorious life would be if everyone who truly realized that they were free in Christ used that freedom to serve in the way that God really wants us to. Because of that freedom that we have in knowing Jesus, we can choose to love others as Jesus loved us. And we can choose to serve them as Jesus served us. This, if you like, this freed to serve lifestyle is how people will then recognize us as disciples of Jesus. Paul says, you were called to be free. And it's on that basis that you then have the desire to serve God by serving others. You will want to serve God by serving others. Because you recognize and you appreciate the freedom that you have received from him. Secondly, this verse reminds us that a barrier to serving can sometimes simply be self-centeredness. Paul warns us, do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. You know, often a reason that people don't have the time or the energy to serve others can be because they're so preoccupied with their own agendas, their own wants, and satisfying their own pleasures. And yet Jesus says, as we read in Mark 8, verse 35, if you insist on saving your life, you will lose it. Only those who throw away their lives for the sake, my sake, and for the sake of the gospel will ever know what it means to really live. Serving God by serving others, is life-giving, not only for those that we serve, but for ourselves. It can bring about a huge satisfaction to ourselves and to our souls as we live out our freedom in Christ by serving those around us. And in the case of doing so in a church context, of course, it contributes for the sake of the gospel. At the end of the day, I guess it's about what our priorities are. What are we going to use our freedom that we get from knowing Jesus for? To do whatever we want? Or to serve God by serving others? Paul warns us, do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. And thirdly, I think this verse gives us a real indication of what the motivation for serving is. And that's love. Paul says, serve one another humbly in love. The law of love, God's love, should govern how we live as Christians, how we treat others, how we serve others. And that's particularly important when it comes to building community, serving each other in love. Many of you, of course, will know the chapter in 1 Corinthians 13 that talks so much about love. I'm going to read verse 3. I'm going to read it from the Message paraphrase, which really is quite pointed. No matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, I am bankrupt without love. It's all about how we do things. God is far more interested in why you serve others and in how well you serve them. He's interested in your motivation. He's always looking at our hearts. Are you serving willingly and eagerly out of love for Jesus and your gratitude for what he's done for you? You know, we say that we strive to be like Jesus, don't we? We know we'll never be exactly like him until we meet him in glory. But we are most like Jesus when we're serving others. After washing his disciples' feet, what did Jesus say? I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. He washed their feet because he loved them and he wanted to serve them. Serve one another humbly in love, says Paul. That's how we best serve God, by serving others. That's how we best serve at church. And why would you not want to serve at church? Do you know what? There are huge benefits to this thing called serving. For a start, it helps us to discover and develop our gifts. And that often builds up our own self-confidence. And all of us using our different gifts together can make a massive difference for the kingdom. But it's more than that. Serving is a form of worship and helps us to express our gratitude for what Jesus has done for us. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11, we read this. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in all its various forms, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. You know, as you serve God by serving others, it's God that gets the praise. It's a form of worship. Do you know what? Serving also helps us to be more like Jesus, because our focus shifts from ourselves onto others. And then we begin to see others as Jesus sees them. And we see Jesus in others. It allows us to experience God's presence in different ways. And you know, serving can also sometimes help to increase our own faith, because not only does it mean that sometimes we are stepping out of our comfort zone as we trust God, but it also increases our faith by revealing new possibilities in ourselves and in God's church. There's plenty of benefits in serving God by serving others. And of course, one of the things that is true, but sometimes is lost, I think, is this is, in case you didn't know, hope you know what you've walked into this morning, this is a Baptist church. And there are a number of distinctives that make us a Baptist church. One of them is that we believe in this thing called the priesthood of all believers, as depicted in 1 Peter 2:5. That all of us are called, or all of us can be involved in all things. It's God's way of us working together as a team. We need to be about every member ministry. That's what a Baptist church is about, every member ministry. And I mean member in the loosest sense of the word. Everyone who is part of this church, we are all called to ministry. We are all called to serve God, to serve his church, and to serve each other. We all have a role to play. Whoever you are, whatever age you are, whether you're young or not so young, you have a role to play to help make this church function in the way in which God wants it to. I want to give a huge shout out now to those of you who already serve in so many different ways, whether on a Sunday so that we can worship together as we're doing this morning, or during the week in some other way. I think about today. Thanks to the band. Thank you. Thank you to the laptop operator, the PA controller, the prayer, the reader, the welcomers, those serving refreshments, those that set up communion, those that will be serving communion shortly. Thanks for those who prepared lunch for us, those running the Ignite group. Without you, today would not be all as it should be, and it is. So why don't we give everyone who's serving today a round of applause? God made each one of us with unique talents, gifts, and abilities. As a follower of Jesus, we can get great joy and make a big difference when we use our God-given
talents, gifts, and abilities to build his church. But it is too easy, isn't it, to make excuses. I don't have time. I don't know what I would do. I don't have any special gifts to contribute. They don't need me. We do need you. And the reality is, God doesn't just call the equipped. He equips the called. And God has used men and women with all sorts of doubts to change the course of history. Moses didn't think he was a particularly good leader or speaker, but God worked through Moses to bring Israel out of slavery. David was the youngest and therefore the most insignificant of his brothers, but God worked through David to firstly defeat a giant and then make him a king. Paul used to kill Christians before he met Jesus, but he went on to become one of the most highly regarded and prolific writers, church planters in history. If God can use them, folks, if God can use me, he can certainly use you. We do need you. We need folk to help in all the tasks that make this church work. We do particularly need, if there are those of you who are feeling prompted right now, people to help on the PA or the laptop. We need additional people to help come on the rota just to prepare communion. I've said recently, when I was first asked to do this in my previous church, I just thought it was such an honor to be allowed to prepare the communion. Deb absolutely assures me that we need some people to help, if you can, every other Wednesday afternoon for the family space or after schools club. We knew we were going to be low on numbers of helpers last Wednesday, and my goodness, you could feel it. We need people. It would be a massive help. Little angels on a Thursday morning, could you give up a couple of hours to help? And also, well, who knows what that also could be? Come and speak to me about how you think you could help at this church. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Jesus died to demonstrate and to create a new kingdom culture of loving and sacrificial service. As his followers, we are a, as I said, a freed to serve family. With Jesus as our model, we choose to serve others rather than seeking to be served ourselves. That's our calling. Every single one of us. Reflect on that. Pray about that. And speak to me or one of the deacons if you have any questions or if you are feeling a little prompting about how you might serve God's church here at Worcester Baptist. Before I pray, I did promise I'd give a little nod to say that we'll be going out shortly. So we'll be finishing shortly the sermon. So we might want to get the youngsters back in. So what was I going to do? I was going to do a chicken impression, wasn't I? There you go. We have the strangest conversations at some of our meetings. Let me pray. Father, above all, I thank you that we are called to be free. That whatever may entangle our lives and our thoughts, we can be freed from that through knowing Jesus. And knowing that he will walk through whatever we're going through with us. But Lord, one of the responsibilities in that calling is to serve you, to serve others. Lord, I pray that for all those that are hearing this now here or at home or maybe later, I just pray that you prompt them as to how you might want them to help serve this church here as we begin this new term, Lord, as we begin looking at all the things that we believe you're calling us to be and do as a church, Lord. Raise up those who will step forward and say, I want to help. I want to serve God by serving others. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll stand to sing as we prepare for communion.